It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy Yannakos here. Alex Lindsay, too, plus Renee Ritchie. We'll analyze Apple's quarterly results. It's not time to panic. Jim Cramer interviews Tim Cook. We'll talk about that. And a look at what might be the new iPhone or new MacBook Pros. It's all next. Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 505, recorded Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016, Shift S. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/MacBreak and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/MacBreak. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a beautiful website or cover page for your portfolio, business, or online store. Enter the offer code MacBreak to get 10% off. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest Macintosh and Apple news, and we have the crew here today. To my right, Mr. Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Core.
Hello,
nice
hello.
Always nice to have you in studio.
It's good to be here.
Actually, we saw you at NAB. That was fun. You were having fun with the Ozo camera. And
we did. Yeah, we had a good time. We did 3 days of...
Where is that video?
It was only a private stream.
Still rendering.
No, it was all done. It's all done. No, that was on live, so that was all rendered live.
Oh, neat.
Big horsepower to do that. And but we...
did you get your Theta working live yet?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good.
It turned out to be the cable.
Oh,
so after
silly.
All of that, I swapped, just I swapped
cable.
USB
yeah,
cables.
Yeah, because it worked fine here.
I walked out with USB cables, boom, it showed right up.
Nice.
That stuff was, there's a lot of rights issues. It was bands and Cirque du Soleil and, you know, a lot of other stuff. So it wasn't something we could post online.
Ooh.
Maybe some of it will show up. But yeah, so
you could just
cool
give
stuff.
Me a USB key. I wouldn't yes. mind. Actually, probably be, you could just give me a 14 terabyte hard drive.
Yes, exactly. Mind. You know, it takes up some band.
Renee Ritchie's also here from imore.com in Montreal. Hello, Renee.
Hello, Leo. How are you doing today?
I'm trying to compete with you with my action figures.
I just copied you. I saw you had the old school, so I went with the new school.
Nice. Yeah. I think this is kind of fun. Brick, what is it? BrikCase.com, is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Gave me this cover. He was in the studio a couple of weeks ago. It's a Lego, you know, plate that goes on your MacBook, and then he built the Twit logo on it.
The thing about what you have right now, Leo, is you have Apple, you have Lego, and you have Disney properties like Star Wars. That is the triumvirate. That is the trifecta. That is everything of our dreams. Every designer wants to work on all those things.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's like the big thing. There it is. BrikBook.com. And once you get the base, you can buy pre-designed little designs, but you can also do your own, obviously, because it's standard Lego. That's cool. That's really cool. I'm glad that the Lego, they had a patent, right, on the bricks, and that expired a couple of years ago. Now anybody could do compatible.
Lego compatible toy.
Yeah. Andy Yannakos also here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Good to see you, Andrew.
Hello, yo.
And we got all the Hamilton talk out of the way at the beginning before the show began, so you can listen without fear, although congratulations to our favorite Broadway show for 16 Tony nominations, a new world record.
That's going to be some funny running gags there. If we laughed at Aziz Ansari at the Emmy Awards, like holding up the book when he was nominated for against Jeffrey Tambor, holding up a book saying how to lose to Jeffrey Tambor with dignity, it's going to be we're going to see people in like beach shorts and like baffed up T-shirts who are nominated against Hamilton.
Forget it, it's helpless.
You're going to see the most unprepared people in the world if you win against Hamilton.
Write a speech? Why bother? Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's
I know what this is. Fine. I'm up on stage and now I'm all getting tired, teary and weepy, but I didn't expect. And that's when you yank it away from me and say, ha ha, of course you lost to Hamilton. Well, I'm not playing along. Here is my butt.
Actually, the tough one's going to be best actor in a musical because it's Leslie Odom Jr. who plays Aaron Burr versus Lin-Manuel Miranda who plays Hamilton. And I hope they don't have a duel on stage.
A duel all over again.
That would be bad. Yeah. All right, let's talk, because just after the show last week, Renee Ritchie ran off early because Apple had its earnings call, and the earnings came out. And as we said, expectedly, Apple had warned us the quarter before. It wasn't a great quarter. In fact, the first time Apple did not have a record quarter in 13 years, and the stock market plummeted.
13 quarters.
Quarters. Well, yeah. since 2000, when? Eight, nine?
Remember offhand.
It's been a long time. 10 years, I think. So anyway, the point being, it was so funny. I was talking to my mom, my 83-year-old mom, and I gave my nephew an iPad Pro for his birthday, and I gave his brother a MacBook because he's going off to college, MacBook Pro for his graduation. And my mom said, "Oh yeah, William told me you shouldn't buy those Apple products because it's all over for Apple." And I said, "Mom, they made almost $1 billion a week."
When we say a bad quarter,
anyone else's best quarter.
I was like, when we say a bad quarter for Apple is at a whole different level. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it is a bad game for
Michael Jordan.
I mean, it's basically, yeah, it is. It would be the best quarter ever for 99.999% of every publicly traded company that's there, except for.
And I think Apple. Even Apple said, you know, part of the problem is we've saturated the market. You can't. There's a limited number of iPhones you can sell any individual, although I seem to be the counterexample to that.
Well, they're being measured off growth, not off of, like, they're selling a lot of iPhones, but Wall Street doesn't foresee growth. They don't foresee them selling even more iPhones in the future. And Wall Street traditionally, at least in companies like Apple, not old incumbent companies where they look more towards things like dividends, in companies like Apple and growth stocks, they don't care about how many you sold now. They want to know that you're going to sell more than that the next quarter and the next year and the year after that. And when you have a product that is being used by, you know, it's not like Android, but it's still being used by hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of millions of people, they foresee it to being very hard. It's like acceleration. You can get from 0 to 100 on a highway really easily. 100 to 200 is hard. 200 to 300, almost impossible. So to maintain acceleration is sort of like a fool's errand.
Yeah. Jim Cramer appeared. Tim Cook appeared with Jim Cramer. I'm going to see if I can find do you have the video? He wanted to defend. He said investors got it all wrong on CNBC. He wanted to defend the stock. So, Jason, do you have it or should I? Okay, Jason is going to play a little bit of that clip here. This is from Jim Cramer's Mad Money on CNBC last night.
Welcome back. We're here with Apple CEO Tim Cook. Tim, want to talk about the stock a little bit? It is Mad Money.
Cramer's in such a hurry, he can't bother to say the E in CEO. It's like,
wait, they keep buying back one fifth of the company. But what has it done? Your stock is down below where you bought the average amount, much higher price. Is it a waste versus innovation, or is it not really a trade-off?
It's not a trade-off, is the answer to that. We first look at all the money that we need to invest.
He's talking about the stock buyback. Apple put a significant, $50 billion or something? Some huge amount into stock buyback.
They increased it again.
I'm telling you, they're buying themselves back.
Which they should.
We take the money that's left over, if we have some, and we do at this point.
Right.
And we give it back to our shareholders. And we do that in terms of dividends and buybacks. And so if you look at dividends, we just raised it for the every year.
I don't know if we're going to. It's deeper in the interview where he says, Cramer says, is Apple dead?
Yeah, that was the what's his name's quote from the New York Times, where he said the best Apple's best days are behind it. But I think the legitimate fear here,
by the way, Tim's response is, I think that's a huge overreaction. The most important thing is customers love our products. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the legitimate concern here, I mean, there's so much noise, but the legitimate concern here from investors isn't that Apple had a down quarter. It's that Apple's management seemingly did not anticipate the downturn in iPhone and underestimated the demand for iPhone SE. And those are two things that historically Apple has been very good at. And they had to sort of ramp up on iPhone SE and ramp down on iPhone 6.
But I think that anytime you're releasing a new product, even if it's within a product that you have, you're not going to know exactly how many, and what you don't want to do, obviously, is overproduce. You know, so I think that
I'm amazed that Cook bothered with Mad Money. I mean,
can you imagine Jobs doing that?
No, and I don't think he needs to justify it. The problem is you have the most successful consumer electronics product of all time in the iPhone, and the market's punishing you for not having a sequel.
Which they're working on. I think the timing hasn't lined up exactly the way, you know, would be perfect. But Apple, fortunately, has a lot of layroom. You know, they can go a long way and get this
cash.
Right.
So when
you
look still at, making money, like I said, $10 billion in a quarter is
not shabby.
Enough to keep, it gives you some runway.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going broke.
They have a runway for a very, very long time. I mean, you look at Microsoft. Microsoft, you know, has had a lot of trouble for a decade, and they're still making money. You know, but I think that Apple has a long time to work on this. I think that they do have big products in front of them. You know, and I think that if you have something that can sell, I mean, almost every other cell phone company no other cell phone company can command that kind of margin. You know, so everybody else is selling at a much lower margin than what Apple's doing, and I don't think that any of that's going to slow down.
$50 billion revenue, 51 million iPhones, 10 million iPads, 4 million Macs. If you don't compare that to previous season sales,
it's not bad.
That's a decent amount. Mac was flat, iPhone and iPad down.
To eliminate the last year's quarter, which was an anomaly because so many people rushed to get the larger screened iPhone, then it falls within a pretty steady line graph of growth.
Okay, so it was a blip last year.
It was a bad year-over-year compare. Because the iPhone 6 was such a phenomenal hit, and there was so much anticipation built up for the bigger phone, when you do the year-to-year comparison, it looks bad. If you do the year-to-2-year comparison, it looks much better. The fear comes in when you start to compare to iPad and say, "Well, this is similar language that Apple used with the iPad," and we saw where that went. So in the back of their mind, everyone still has this sort of gambler's paradox with Apple where, oh, you know, they won this time, they're going to lose next time. Oh, they won again, they're going to lose even harder next time. Oh, they won a third time. Boy, when they lose, they're going to lose bad. And it doesn't matter that math just doesn't exist. That's the sort of emotional reaction that Wall Street has always had with them.
Yeah,
it's always important to know that there are two different games being played here, and that both of them are very, very real. There's the games that we play, which is how is Apple going to do in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Are they still going to be able to do exactly what they want to do? And the answer is, of course, yes. But then there's the investor's game, which is how is holding on to Apple stock going to affect my ability to get the gains I want to get in the next 6 or 7 months? And sometimes that's based on what Apple is doing, but also sometimes it's based on game theory and understanding how other investors are going to react to this news. So, it's deeply partitioned how this news affects two groups of people.
Well, and I think that the other thing that the only reason Apple really has to defend its stock is employees getting stock options and everything else. It does affect morale if that is all continues to slide, you know. So I think that also becomes a you know, the only reason that you really that they should spend any time, you know, caring about the stock market. So, but they lost Carl Icahn, though. I mean,
yeah, they did,
you know,
just
that
to get
was,
rid of Icahn. That could have been
Icahn sold all his Apple
I'm wondering,
shares.
I'm wondering if Apple like has some party plan. You know, like Carl's gone.
Icahn is, of course, the very famous kind of what do they call investors?
Activists.
Oh, man, really pain in the ass investors.
Good effing riddance.
Who was pushing and Icahn has always done this. He pushes companies to make money for stockholders, shareholders, right, as opposed to maybe the strategic right move for any company. And he really was needling Apple to the point where he wanted a seat on the board and so forth. And so it's good that he sold all his shares. It doesn't mean he won't buy back in. I think it's an interesting strategy to see if Apple can basically take it private again.
His thing was China, though. That's why he peaced out. He was worried about China in the future.
And rightly so. And even Tim Cook referred to economic headwinds in the quarterly call. They say the downturn is not because of necessarily because of falling demand, but because of economic headwinds. Here's the quote. We have the quote from CNBC, Tim Cook talking to Jim Cramer on Mad Money last night.
That you're a thoughtful guy, likes literature, likes movies, likes TV, and you like an arc.
Yeah, we don't talk about futures of the company. As you say, right, we're fairly secretive. We don't talk about products that are in the roadmap. But I would tell you that we're incredibly excited about things we're working on. Okay. Incredibly excited. And so I don't want to be more specific than that. But I think that the other thing maybe that's worth pointing out is if you kind of look at all the things Apple has done over time, at the time they were done, they were rarely ever seen like they were in retrospect.
Well, this bust. You're talking about the bust of the phone, of the watch?
I think the watch would be like that, too. Because if you look at
Cramer's wearing a watch. He also held up an iPhone
earlier.
iPhone
wasn't viewed as a success. But today it's viewed as an overnight success.
Right.
The iPhone was the same way. People were writing about, there's no physical keyboard. Obviously, nobody would want it. And so I think that in a few years,
they're showing the original iPod.
Yeah. And people would say, How could I have ever thought about not wearing this watch?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting.
So much for you.
That would be an interesting shift, wouldn't it?
It will all of a sudden
she said, how could I ever not?
I couldn't go back.
The second letter that I sent you about doing it. By the way, that was in the mid-120s.
All right, we don't have to keep showing this. But you can watch it. It's on CNBC's website. The fact that Cook appeared on that show shows that they do care a little bit about what the stock market says.
Again, I think they have to defend it. I think that, again, when it comes to gathering, you know, when it comes to getting talent, when it comes to, you know, because all those things are driven by, you know, you have stock options, you have things. I think the talent-driven stock option issue is probably bigger for
talent
Apple than
is what the issue is.
You know, if your stock is going down, it's not exciting to have stock options. And so I think that, because talent acquisition for all these companies is one of all of our problems. I mean, it's getting good talent. So and they have to do it in mass. I mean, they're hiring hundreds of people at a time.
Also, it's a good indication that Apple has totally changed its attitude about dealing with the press and dealing with the public. That you can't imagine 5 years ago Apple having a conversation like this, having what you'd call a proactive conversation. Whereas now, I think that they appreciate that no harm can be done and lots of good can be done by getting ahead of the story and saying, I know that there are a lot of people who are worried about Apple's future and Apple's performance. We're going to at least tell you what we think about that before it's in a situation where it's not crisis management. It's just, well, OK, we can send one of our guys out, maybe even our top guy, to have to talk to the shouty guy about why this is there's no real problem at Apple to talk about.
Is it significant that Apple now makes more money from its services than from selling Macintoshes? In fact, a big profit center, the services. Nope. Apple Music up to 12 million or subscribers now. Revenue from the App Store increased 35% year over year. iCloud grows. Apple Pay is a success. 1 million new users a week.
They like the markup on phones, but oh my God, the markup on electrons. The markup on electrons is phenomenal.
Well, it's also annuity, right? You buy a phone once, but you continue to pay every month for the services. Microsoft learned that, right? They decided they didn't want to sell Windows 3 years.
A better example is Amazon, where they had a really good, productive, and profitable quarter, and it's mostly because of the app services that they're selling, not necessarily of their operations as a Kindle distributor or as an online store. It really does. It's nice to sell light bulbs. It's even better to sell the electricity that serves every light bulb. That way, you make money on the light bulbs you don't sell.
Anything else to say about the results? I think we can move on. I'm just trying to find any other bits and pieces. Apple Music's steady growth, probably a good sign. Apple Music, in fact, exactly what you would expect, frankly, because Apple Music is, as we've said many times, not particularly different from any other of the music services.
I think the number one sell for Apple Music right now is the fact that you can just tell Siri that you want to hear a song and it appears. And that's
on your
$10
phone.
A month.
It's the Apple ecosystem.
I'll be honest with you.
It works
itself,
best.
$10 a month so that I can just say I want to listen to the song. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. If that's one thing, you know, that may be the differentiator that puts you over the top. You're going to pay $10 a month to somebody.
Exactly.
Why not?
If they're all the same.
It comes on the phone. Yeah. You've already got it.
I think there's a lot of opportunities for them to expand that they're not taking advantage of right now. But I think that is the thing that... It's the same thing that, you know, Apple Maps does really well on Apple on the iPhone, because that's what everybody by default goes to. And I think that you know, the connection, the watch is very useful for me because it connects to my Slack. I mean, really for me, that's really all it needs to do. So, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's a super powerful thing to have an app that is, if Apple Music is not thrilling, if it's not the app that will get you to switch from whatever service you're using right now to switch to Apple Music, it's very, very good. It's pre-installed. It's the one you're basically going to tap for starters. The first thing that it tells you is, oh, we'll give you free music for a good amount of time if you tap this button. And it's good enough that people will not want to put a reminder on their calendar to cancel it after 30 or 60 days. As bad as it's been from time to time with me, it's never been so bad that I would uninstall it in a fit of rage, even if I had the ability to uninstall Apple Music. Whereas there's a music app called Vox. Yeah, a music app called Vox that I installed to try it out a few months ago. I hate reinstalled it. I hate deinstalled it after it said, are you really interrupting my work to tell me to listen to music right now? I'm in the middle of something and you're putting up a pop-up saying, hey, just one song. Like, no, how about just one removal, please? So, yeah, that's the power of something reinstalled.
What more would you do, Alex? You said there's things you would do to make Apple Music better. Would you improve beats or launch some additional stations? It feels like that's a missing. They're missing that boat.
Yeah, I think that what no one's taken advantage of is allowing tastemakers to make money.
Curation?
Well, allow them to curate. So for instance, and it could be a very small percentage, but let's say if I build a playlist and I put it up on Apple Music and a lot of people subscribe to that playlist, I should, you know, if I was able to make a little bit of money on that, and it's not me that would make a lot of money on that. It's DJs that already work at, it's DJs that, you know, the it would be the death of radio like that, because all these DJs.
Thank you.
No, but I'm just saying that it would be like of music radio, not talk radio.
Oh, good. Thank you.
No. Because the thing is all these DJs are already well followed. People know who they are. And if they found out that they had, you know, the Mike Holleran, playlist or whatever, but they're not going to go ahead and do that unless they had people can do it to make feel good. But really what you want is them to get a little percentage of that. And Apple, even if it took a little bit of a hit, it can afford to do that, to pay a 2% on that or whatever. So if I have 100,000 subscribers, I get paid some little amount as people play my playlist. And I think that would turn a whole organic, you know, movement with a lot of celebrities that have a lot of followers that could generate a lot more revenue. You know, and I think that could be, you know, one of the bits and pieces. I think that another thing is from a technical perspective, I think from a playlist, I know it sounds silly, but building the ability to blend songs in a playlist would create something very, like, so basically be able to have like a little blend curve so I can, you know, fade from one to the next in my preview. Once you build that, you can't get out of that playlist. Like right now I can move all my stuff from Spotify to Apple Music, but if I have a thing that is basically sets up how I want to blend everything so it's this nice thing, I think that you end up, it's a very sticky thing. And then I also think that finding ways to allow users to find other users like them in a very big data sort of way, I think is something that no one's really taking full advantage of. They try to do it in the background, but they don't give the users enough control over it. And I think that those three things, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music, would, you know, could definitely increase, you know, what kind of subscribers are. I think that Apple by default will pass Spotify in the next 18 months. You know, I think, and it's just from a default, you know, they're just going to keep on growing that. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of other things that could be done. And then all the exclusive stuff that everyone's trying to do. But I think that that's not as, I don't think it's as compelling as people think it is.
Yeah.
But I will say that Apple would have 50 million subscribers if they had listened to us, me specifically.
Listen to Alex.
If they listened to me 6 years ago saying they should go to subscription, I just want to say, told you so.
They should have done this years ago.
Told you so. Yeah. You know, like.
But I think they're probably in good shape. They'll probably have steady growth. I mean, they grew 2 million users in the last few months. They'll probably have continued steady growth. I don't think they're going to kill the competition. But I think that, I've said this before, the competition is going to boil down to companies that don't just make money in music like Spotify does. It'll be Amazon, Apple, Google. And, you know, the titles and the Spotifys of the world are going to struggle because the record industry is not going to let them succeed. They're going to squeeze them.
Well, I think the record industry is trying to play everyone against each other. What they don't want is anyone to get a significant
lead. They don't want to see another iTunes situation.
Yeah, or any, you know, that's why Apple's having such a hard time getting cable TV subscriptions and everything else. And now they're going to back up Hulu for that kind of thing because they're trying to even that out, because once Apple gets ahead, you know, obviously they don't have any leverage.
I think we'll see steady growth in Apple Music. I don't see any reason not to.
No, I think it'll become the. I think it will be. It will slowly become the largest service, paid service out there. And I'm
grateful because of them. The family plan now is available on most services. $15. I pay $15 for 6 users of Google Music. So thank you, Apple, for bringing the price down there. Right. Anyway, competition's good. That's why we want to keep competition.
And
we want Apple Music to be strong.
And we want Spotify to be strong. We want Google Play to be strong.
I'm worried about Spotify. I'm worried about Pandora. Mm-hmm. Title.
I don't know.
I'm worried about. Well, the exclusive.
You're never going to hear that Beyonce album now.
I know.
Oh, Bay. Bay. Where's my lemonade?
I saw, did you see the video?
No.
Remarkable.
No, is it?
Nice thing you've got to watch Apple it. As a video guy, you've got to watch it. Okay. Yeah, it's remarkable.
The nice thing about Apple Music is I just bought it on iTunes, and now I tell Siri to play it for me, and it plays just like it was available on Apple Music. It's just one thing I have to worry about. So.
Yeah, there's another advantage, right? Yep.
All integrated.
And I think people still want to buy music to, if only just kind of, it's almost a tip to their favorite artist. Streaming music's so important, but if you love Beyonce or Taylor Swift or, you know, the Mumfries McGee or whatever it is, you kind of almost want to pay them the $10 just to say thank you, make another album.
I have to admit
John August and Craig Mazin were saying on their podcast that the writers get paid the most for rentals, not for purchases. So if you like the writer more than the director,
oh, it's so complicated. I think people don't understand how this works. Publishing rights, performance rights. If the performer didn't write it, then the radio stations only play the publisher. They pay the guy who wrote it. They don't pay for the performance royalties. It's very weird and complicated. And that's why if you want to support an artist, you buy their album, period.
I think that one of the fundamental things that Apple
is
doing wrong, this is bad and wrong, is with their movies. You know, I lost a credit card in Vegas my that was connected to my iTunes account. And I was, you know, waiting for a replacement. And Apple literally, I bought these movies. And when I say I bought movies, I have like hundreds of movies on iTunes. And not only could I not buy new movies, but it would not let me watch any of the movies that I already had bought until I fixed my credit card problem, which I really think is foul play. You know, you're not buying a movie.
That's an interesting thing.
You're not buying a movie if I'm not allowed to watch it, if my credit card isn't up to date or whatever. I had to do it. It was fine. It was inconvenient.
Apple does like that.
That is BS.
They are inconvenience, but they're security things. They're to keep somebody else from playing your music.
I got it. But that was, you know.
I run into that all the time. And they're always asking for passwords, even though they have my fingerprint. There's a lot of inconveniences with Apple. And I think it's because of their security focus. They're trying to protect you.
It was more than inconvenient. It's BS. If I bought it when I open it up on iTunes, it should work.
It should,
you know, like I shouldn't, you know,
it should know it's you, know, you but that, unless you validate it with a credit card. In fact, that happens a lot because I have family sharing. So my kid is asked for the last four digits of my credit card frequently, and Lisa is, and so that's not great either. Like your child has to come to you and say, "Daddy, what's the last five digits of your credit card? The CVV code for your credit card?" No, I mean, that's inconvenient. But I understand why they do it. It's to protect you and the music industry.
And the movie industry.
Hey, you know who else is protected? The Indian telephone company. Apple has been trying to sell refurbished iPhones in India, the world's second largest mobile population, a good way to bring inexpensive iPhones to India. The Indian government has rejected their request. Apple's been trying to do this for a couple of years now. Apple's rivals mounted a public campaign against the effort, arguing such a move would trigger a flood of used electronics while defeating the government's Make in India program to encourage local manufacturing. The Indian government's somewhat protectionist of its own companies.
This program is actually something that happens in a lot of industries. So
it's going to happen in the United States after the presidential election,
right?
When the wall goes up.
Well, but I mean,
when the wall goes up.
So if you want to sell something, you know, if you want to sell something into a country, so this is electronics, defense industry. This is very, very common, which is that you basically, if you want to sell F-16s to someone, they have to buy. You actually have to build the tires there, or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, like they're, you know, because a lot of these emerging world countries
bring industry to their country.
Are trying to get, you know, they're going to spend millions of dollars. They want to do that. It's a little, you know, India
has governmental spending. I understand, but I don't think government should block consumers from spending.
No, I agree. I think allowing them to do it. But I'm saying that's the problem that you have with some of these folks that are fighting it is they're like, hey, we built factories there to deal with this, and now Apple's just going to be able to dump.
So make better phones, and then demand will go up. Apple has 2% of total shipments of phones in the country. They also are trying to open their first Apple stores in India and waiting government approval for that. They can't do that without government approval.
Yeah.
And Brazil. Let's bring up Brazil because, as you may remember, yesterday another Brazilian court in a separate case banned WhatsApp for 3 days. And again,
realized that was not a good idea.
100 million Brazilians.
Right.
91% penetration in Brazil for WhatsApp because of protectionist rules for cell phone companies and the exorbitant cost for SMS in Brazil. People use WhatsApp. And again, the high court said, yeah, we better turn it back on. That was a mistake. You know, Facebook and Telegram are going, come on, turn it off again. Turn it off again. It's really good for us.
The
reason, by the way, is because of the end-to-end encryption. And WhatsApp says, Facebook says, you can ask for it all you want. We cannot tell you what those messages say. They're encrypted. We don't have the key.
Yeah, and that's the future.
Jan Koum, the founder, in a Facebook post yesterday said, we have no intention of compromising the security of our billion users around the world. Thank you, WhatsApp, for fighting for it. And this is one where consumers won, right? They said, hey, wait, I need my WhatsApp. It was going to last 3 days. $140,000 penalty for any carrier who allowed WhatsApp to work. But within hours, they turned it back on. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We got lots more to talk about, including rumors of a new MacBook. You know how I know there's going to be a new MacBook? I just bought one.
Yep. Thanks, Leo.
There you go.
Not MacBook. Thanks, Renee, too.
Not MacBook, but MacBook Leo. Pro. Not the MacBook, because that's new. But the MacBook Pro. Of course there's a new one. I knew there'd be a new one.
I knew it.
I knew it.
We knew you knew it, Leo. We still say thank you.
We've been saying it. But Will needed one. He's going to college. He needed one. So I bought him, the nice, he wanted, he told me what he wanted. I had sent him a little gift card. And he said, could you help me with the rest? Because it's three times more than the gift card. Oh, you want that one? So, but no, he deserves it. He's worked hard. He's going to the Rhode Island School of Design to be a design student. He wanted a nice high-end MacBook because that's what he needs.
Yep.
Right. So we'll talk about that and a lot more. Andy Iannocco here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. And, of course, Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Core. I have to say, this is a 2012 MacBook, and it's just fine.
Mm-hmm. I don't need a change. I'm fine.
It's just fine now that I have a new cover for it. You kids. Our show today brought to you by Wealthfront. So we're talking about the market and about investments. You can see why it's crazy out there. If you're basing your long-term investment strategy on Jim Cramer's Mad Money, you might want to think about that a little bit. Long-term investing. Now, I'm not talking day trading. If you want to day trade, go right ahead. Be my guest. But longer-term investing for your future is a little bit, more important. Retirement, buying that house, the kids' college fund, things that you're going to keep invested for a while. You're not going to put it in the savings account because the interest rate's ridiculously low. Even a CD. I think you really want to be in the market. You got to invest. But how do you invest? And who do you trust? Do you do it yourself? Read all the books. That's what I did. Read all the books. Did everything. I said, okay, I got it. I figured it out. And I opened an account, put a bunch of money in. And then I watched it for a while, and then I forgot about it. 10 years later, I thought, I probably should have been paying more attention. Whoopsies. Okay. So maybe I said, oh, no, well, hire a pro because they'll know what to do. There are a couple of problems. First of all, sometimes the pros don't know what to do. In fact, if they were so good, how come they're telling you how to invest your money? Maybe they'd just be investing for their own account. The other problem, of course, is the commissions, the extra hidden fees, and the fees they charge up front, like 1-3% per year of what you've got invested. That means you'd have to make 3% more just to break even. That's not good. So I got a better way. Automated trading, a computer, and computers are cheap, right? A computer will do it for 0.25% a year, a lot less, and do it better because instead of checking in every month or so to see how you're doing, your computer will watch all the time. This is Wealthfront I'm talking about. Wealthfront is really great. Based on the best thinking, the state-of-the-art thinking, Nobel Prize-winning academic research, best investment practices from some of the best minds in the business. Just look who's on their advisory board. You'll see what I mean. So you're getting all of the smarts, but you're also getting it monitored for things, frankly, even a professional investment advisor is not going to do because they're just not going to pay attention that much. Rebalancing every day, every minute, looking for tax loss harvesting so you can reduce your tax bill while increasing your returns, things like that. You can have multiple accounts, joint accounts, retirement accounts, accounts for that big rainy day fund. No additional charges past the 0.25% a year. That means no monthly fees, but no hidden charges, no transaction fees. Take a look. Go there now. You can get a portfolio review for free. I really do want you, as always, they say this in the disclaimers, you know, read carefully before investing. But I mean it. I think you got to, you know, this is your money. It's your future. So read up on this. I was really impressed, but I want you to read up on it. You can get a portfolio review right now. They'll show you how much you're paying in fees, how risky your investments are, see if you're comfortable with that. They will also, if you answer a couple of questions about your, and this is the, one of the things that's neat, they don't have to do a big, long questionnaire. They have really figured out what to focus on, ask you a couple of questions about your risk aversion, your goals, your long, you know, your time frame, and then they will generate a portfolio for you, which you can have. That's free, and you can see how it works. Just take a few minutes at Wealthfront.com and see how it works. And by the way, what's nice about Wealthfront is they've got a dashboard that will track not only your Wealthfront savings, but also all your other accounts. So you get a complete summary of your assets. So it's a really nice kind of single page view. They have apps. We've heard from so many people now who've used Wealthfront and are thrilled. The minimum investment, once you've read up, the minimum investment is $500. So you can just taste it, you know, for a little bit. And by the way, if you go to Wealthfront.com/MacBreak, your first $15,000 will be fee-free, not 0.25%, but zero forever, forever. So a great way to get that nest egg going. And if you're a young person, now's the time. Young people think they're going to live forever. They don't think anything's going to happen. I was that way, too. And I kick myself for not starting this when I was in my 20s. Because you have, by the time you're my age, so much more because of the magic of compounding.
Well, the magic.
Like magic. It's magic. Go to Wealthfront.com/MacBreak. You can do it. You can right now. And we thank you for their support of MacBreak Weekly. I want to correct myself. It's not 12 million. It's 13 million paying customers. And that's a continued growth since February of 2 million. That's pretty good. Pretty good for Apple Music. Let's see. Oh, hey, it turns out the FBI did not pay $1 million.
It was rubles. Million rubles.
Sources say it was under $1 million to unlock the San Bernardino iPhone. We still don't know exactly.
Which turned out to have nothing of use.
Well, did they ever say?
Yeah, there were some reports.
It's useful in the sense that they know that they weren't in direct communication with anyone else higher up on a line, that they're working independently. That in itself is useful information. Sometimes the lack of information is actually information.
Right. The FBI has the physical possession of the mechanism. This is according to the sources reported from Reuters. The FBI has physical possession of the mechanism. Sounds like it's
like a little machine.
It's a shop vac.
Used to open the phone. But get
the
this.
Lego Mindstorms project.
Get this. It must be hardware because they say they have no details of how it works.
It's like magic.
It's a little
just
box.
Plug it in.
The identity of the contractor is so closely held inside the FBI that not even Director James Comey knows who it is, says the source. They are still investigating. They're still looking at the contents.
This feels like a movie that nobody would believe. It's just, this is ludicrous. This is just impossible. Right. It never happened this way. No one's this dumb. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if Apple actually knew who it was, they'd just buy them. Like, here's $100 million. You know, and we'll know how, you know, like, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, there was an IP box for a long time that just did something similar to all this.
And I should point out that when you have unnamed government sources as the source for an article.
You have no idea. Some guy making it up.
You have no idea. Well,
CJ Craig.
What it may well be a government source, but you don't know what their agenda is. You don't know if they're lying to you for a purpose.
Right, right.
So I wish, you know, I guess you have to do this. But as a consumer of news, I just want to underscore when you hear unnamed, undisclosed sources said, consider that and remember that often in the past those sources have had a hidden agenda. Yellow.
Right. It's the same thing with the Apple articles where they say, like, oh, there's feuding in the iCloud offices. Right. Turns out one guy was second in the coffee machine,
pissed.
Was really upset about it and texted somebody.
I'm feuding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's true in all journalism. And unnamed sources are as good as the paper they're written on. And they're going to keep it a secret. The FBI says we are not going to give that information.
Are we quiet? We're keeping secrets.
I guess they said that they're not licensed to give the... Like they got a license to use it, but not to...
It's up to the company that made it to hand it over. I think that's really the bottom line of that leak.
And I have to admit, if I was the company that made it, I would still sell to Apple because Apple's going to figure this out and then you will be not as useful.
I think it's patched already, isn't it? And they say it was already patched in current operating systems.
All right, yeah.
So there's a vulnerabilities equities process created in the Obama administration where law enforcement... there's this process that it goes through saying, here's the vulnerability we discovered. We're going to now look at whether we should reveal this to the company. And in this case, the FBI, according to Amy Hess, who's the agency's executive assistant director for science and technology, cannot submit the method to this vulnerabilities equities process because, quote, we do not have enough technical information about any vulnerability that would permit any meaningful review. In other words, we don't know how it works.
What that means, Leo, is they asked the president, and he basically just looked at them, said, Obama out, and dropped the mic, and walked off.
Wasn't that funny? Yeah. He's getting a little loosey-goosey now that it's almost over, right? He's getting kind of wild. Yeah, I think that's a shame because, of course, any vulnerability means that we are vulnerable. But it underscores, in my opinion, the most important thing, which is you can never trust any company to protect your privacy. It's up to you to protect your privacy.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the bottom line is a code longer than four digits is enough to go a long way to protecting your privacy.
Use a passphrase if you know. I mean, you can. There are means. I mean, the real issue, and this is the issue. Apple, even Tim Cook has said this, is not for sophisticated users, the people who watch this show.
Right.
But for people who are not sophisticated users, don't they deserve protection against hacking? Don't they deserve protection against snooping? Not just by governments, but by anybody. Right. And so Apple's trying to make it something that is just kind of works automatically for people who don't have the sophistication to do it themselves. Bad guys, I mean, state terrorists, that kind of people, they know how. Well, we know how.
Just remember that in San Bernardino, the terrorists, they destroyed their own phones.
They knew enough to
the chances of finding anything on this phone that they didn't destroy seemed fairly low.
We should also point out that there is a rules change that is in front of Congress. Congress has till December 1st to change this. Rules change the federal code. The Supreme Court kind of gave it its seal of approval a couple of weeks ago, and it is now kind of working its way through the process that would allow, in the case where the government can't tell what jurisdiction the bad actor is in because they're using Tor or encryption, that any judge in any jurisdiction in the United States could issue a warrant. That would be okay. And so the concern of the EFF and others is that means that if the FBI wants to crack an iPhone, they go to the most friendly judge in this, it could be somebody in a backwater somewhere and say, hey, Your Honor, we need a warrant. And that judge is going to say, yeah, whatever you say. And so it reduces the protections we have from a court in the warrant process. Just FYI, you might want to write your member of Congress and say, hey, that would be nice if you said no to this. Phil Schiller says, don't pluralize Macintosh or iPhone. In fact, it doesn't even need an article. And he said it in Twitter.
Leo, can we stop for a second? So what happened with this is Michael Gartenberg, who used to work for Phil Schiller, decided to pull Phil's leg on Twitter by, just making a comment about iPhones or iPads Pro in sort of, because he's a big fan of the West Wing as well, and there's that whole sketch about it.
Right.
And then Schiller decided to have some fun back with Gartenberg, because that's what you do. If someone serves you a softball, you hit it back to them as hard as you possibly can. And then this being Twitter, it's sort of quasi-private conversation, is in the public.
It isn't a private conversation. No, he is the director of marketing at Apple, and I think this is, in fact, Apple's point of view. It's not Macintosh's, it's Macintosh.
Look at any press release or any comment he makes in an event, they pluralize them all the time. It's just marketing.
As Phil said, you say two Macintosh computers or two iPad Pro devices. You don't have to say iPad
Pros.
They don't.
They never say that. That's in their partner marketing collateral. They don't want developers to pluralize
words. It's a marketing thing, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't expect the press not to do it. I hope.
Yeah.
You've never gotten a memo, have you?
Not from Apple, but I don't know. I think we all got that really detailed email from Adobe saying, I noticed that you used the word Photoshopped to refer to a generic term for editing a photo. Here's the guidelines for how you should be using the word Photoshop.
Well, IMAX is the worst about that. Anytime you use IMAX and it's not referencing their brand, they have a team of people sick.
That's different. That's protecting a trademark. Kleenex should have done it. Xerox should have done it. I understand that. That's different from saying, well, I'll give you an example. This was something that's always been an issue in journalism is, do you use weird typography, the company's own typography, CNET? Remember CNET was all lowercase with a bar between the C and the net. Do you have
– I mean, that's all caps.
Yeah, that's trademark stuff, do you use that when you're reporting on them? And no, I would do capital A-S-U-S.
And like NVIDIA is all caps. So weird. You know, like it's all those things. Like right. The all cap thing is...
Now, if you're going to use TWIT in a sentence, you better damn well lowercase the I.
Well, remember they did iPhone with an I-phone for a long time in BizPubs, which was always very weird to me because there's just no dash anywhere.
It's E-mail, I-phone. Anyway, it would be proper, says Phil Schiller, in this jokey Twitter, to say I have three Macintosh... Or I have three Macintosh computers. If you say I have three Macintosh to me, I'll go, what?
Or I have three Macs.
Three Macs. Yeah, I'm sure Apple doesn't want you to call them Macs either, but that's fine.
The first tweet is funny, though, because he's like, one would say, like, it's done in a very non-Phil
Schiller
voice.
One need never pluralize Apple product names. Example, Mr. Evans used two iPad Pro devices. That's very Strunk and White.
Yes.
Yeah, it's okay to do that. He's joking. You could tell he's joshing there. There's a certain modicum of, you know, truth in that.
He's joking. Kind of.
I mean, but again, that's trademarker ease. Yep. It's not something we have to use in our regular speech. I think it's a great... And actually, there was a great article in The Verge, Jacob Castronakis writing about Apple grammar in general. And everyone seems to agree Apple's grammar is weird. And so you see it in the press releases where Apple does, in fact... adhere to their no articles. So everyone who wants a smaller phone is going to love iPhone SE or iPad Pro as a new generation of iPad.
Yeah, they don't like the. They've always hated in both speech articles. And in PR not to put a the.
I think
in front
that's
of
a Steve though. That's a Steveism, isn't it? Yeah. It's Macintosh. Macintosh. And that's fine. If you're a company, you should be able to do that. But it's a funny article. Remember, think different is ungrammatical. So
I just hope Schiller doubles down at WWDC and gives us a full treatment of
break it down. They need a little video about that at WWDC, like a little.
I hope it goes full Trump and just calls us all idiots.
You're an idiot. You're stupid.
We've got great iPhones. We've got the best iPhone.
They're the best.
We've never seen anybody. Like,
fantastic.
Windows is over. It's been losing market share. They're going to be done in 2 or 3 years. Ask anybody.
People on Twitter ask me about Windows. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know what it is.
The iPhone sock was not a failure. I still use an iPhone sock.
It's a great, sock
every
day. Great
I use iPhones,
product.
People I don't
keep telling me they
like
love
the
iPod
seen.
Sock.
By the way, this is from, according to our chat room, from Microsoft's trademark guidelines. Microsoft trademarks should never be used in the possessive or plural form. So there.
That's why lawyers have good cars.
Now, in this new MacBook, are they... So here's an interesting question. The MacBook did not redesign it. They just opened it up, put a different processor in, and closed it back up. Are they going to do the same with the MacBook Pro? Are they going to just go to Skylake? Or are they going to fancy these things up a little bit?
The only thing I could see possibly is seeing a USB-C... You know, conversion.
Man, I bought, and I should have brought it in today.
Thunderbolt 3.
I'll show it next week, the Akitio Thunderbolt 3 thing. And I put two Samsung Evo SSDs in it, and I cannot wait to use that with a Thunderbolt 3 port, which is not my MacBook port, unfortunately. But I am going to get a device which shall remain nameless.
Important question, Leo, is will there be a rose gold MacBook Pro? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all anyone really cares about.
Oh, of course there will.
But you'll never know because we've got a Lego cover.
That's supposed to hide the fact that I'm even using a Mac. This could be this is generic, any computer.
But you should get a cover.
Any good functional computer that's lasted since 2012.
Right.
But I will say that you should get a cover. I use these spec covers.
Spec is great.
These are standard issues.
And look how beat up that is. Snap it off and now it's perfect.
See these corners?
Yeah.
This is why you have a case.
Right.
Because those would have been, I have to get a new one, but.
That would have been a dented corner on your Mac.
Yeah, that would have been dented and stick stuff to it.
It'll be the thinnest and lightest MacBook we've ever made, right? It'll be Skylake.
Slightly faster processors, better GPU. I mean,
I still would like to see. Okay, so Thunderbolt, you're right. Thunderbolt 3.
Yep. USB-C.
USB-C. Oh, they won't do that.
It's the same endpoint. I mean, like the Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C are interconnect compatible, so you can have the same port.
I still
theoretically
think
do both.
I hope they don't do that, though.
Well, you could have multiple versions of Ethernet that each take USB-C and Thunderbolt 3.
I should go
They're multi-purpose.
Keep talking. I'm going to go get you something.
I told Andy that Ethernet didn't matter, and I think of Andy almost every day now. You know, because he was right.
Yeah, I reorganized my office. I have this beautiful like library card catalog case like from the Boston Public Library, and I had to create a whole new drawer just labeled dongles now. So I have a dongle drawer.
I have a little bag when I travel, like a little it's a little makeup bag, those little mesh bags that is just one whole bag full of dongles to connect. But
oh, you want to see something hysterically funny? Hang on, I got it right here. This is where I'm not trying to make a nasty comment. This is a double dongle solution. I had to go because I had to hook up my after coming back from the wedding. This was like one of my cameras, and so I had to figure out how to get the FireWire connected. And the only way to connect it again, thanks to my dongle drawer, I needed dongle A to turn the original FireWire into the new FireWire, and then dongle B to turn the new FireWire into Thunderbolt. this is not an ideal solution for anything. It worked, of course. That's it worked great. Fine. And, well, I appreciate that this is a really, really old-fashioned connector, but it's like now it's like it's dongles all the way down.
I hook up Ethernet to my phone now, now that I can do that, and that's like this weird dongle to dongle, and I've been thinking about like getting a shrink wrap to just like tie them all together so that's just like one dongle, you know, that will never come apart.
I'm finding that like gaffer's tape is now an essential part of my hardware setup because I need to tape the thing I need to the other thing I need and make sure they never ever never take one without the other.
Shrink wrap. That's
how about
one
heat
word.
Shrink?
That's what I meant. Like I meant heat shrink.
Yeah, not shrink wrap. No, heat shrink.
So the one that I'm doing for the
that's
my phone
awesome stuff.
Oh, I have rolls and rolls of different sizes. You never know.
So
what
it's like
kind of heat
it's
shrink.
Like a rubber, but you heat it and it goes.
Yeah, so
it's like shrinky dinks.
So when you want to either seal something or you want to put a little thing, you know, either you know label something or seal something. You know, oftentimes you're sealing connectors with it. You got a little heat, your little heat gun, and you put it on there.
So this is the Akitio that I bought. This, but I don't
have a smaller one.
It's too big, but it's pretty. On the unfortunately, I don't have it here at home. So Thunderbolt 3. You put two drives in there, and I put SSDs for best speed. And if you RAID 0, then scary RAID them, then you get the full throughput of the Thunderbolt 3, 40 gigabits.
Gigabytes. Scary.
But it's also, and this is the other thing that really is cool about USB-C, is it is by its nature able to do drive a monitor. And so this is, in a way, a dock just because it has two USB-Cs on the back.
It has Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C?
It's a USB-C connector that supports Thunderbolt 3. That's the new black.
But there's no computers that have that except for the little one.
The MacBook does, and then I just bought that HP thing. And then, so this I ordered this years ago. It feels like years ago. I think it was last year when I got the MacBook from Otherworld Computing, and it finally came the other day. And it's like, this is for the 2015 MacBook, just in the nick of time.
Right.
Yeah.
However, I think because of USB-C, it's going to be generic enough. This is a dock, right? So the idea is, and it's powered. So it's a powered dock, so you don't carry it with you. You leave it on your desktop. And you plug in your Mac, or I'm hoping any USB-C computer. Doesn't have to be the 2015 MacBook. To that. And then you get all these benefits. You know, that's the one connection.
Well, the big thing is that you have, like, I connect a lot of things for my laptop, and having that all just sitting all pre-connected, and all you got to do is run one little cable to it.
Wire.
That's the key to the operation.
And these are and these would be, if on the proper hardware, would be Thunderbolt 3.
Yep.
It wouldn't be on the MacBook because they decided not to do it, but you get HDMI. I did do some research, and if you do put data and video over the Thunderbolt 3 USB-C connector, it prioritizes video, so that might slow down your drive a little bit.
Right.
Okay. But there's a lot of there's a lot of channels on here.
Yeah, it's great.
So it's you're going to get a lot of speed throughput. So the Mac goes in here, then you get HDMI out, Ethernet, you get a USB-C out, you get three USB 3.1 ports. So these are the fastest USB, and then you get another one. This one is suitable. It's got printing on it. This is these are all charging. Charging ports. A couple of them are high powered charging ports, so you could charge your iPad from there. That's a mic and a headphone jack, and then that's the SD card. So this is. I wish it had come out a little faster. But this is
a slick little breakout.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It says, "Please remove plastic film."
I never do. I leave those things on until the bitter end.
I know.
Oh, well, yeah.
I can see your laptop.
I'm probably gonna be buying a breakout box for my own MacBook Pro. Now that it's the MacBook Pro is starting to have a semi-permanent home here in the office desk, now that I'm using my iPad Pro for pretty much everything that involves going out of the house.
Right. I am disappointed that the new MacBook does not support Thunderbolt 3, though, I got to say.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that new MacBook Pro will. It will, right? That's why they didn't do it. They want to make a distinction between the high end.
And I don't know how many people using the MacBook would need to.
Would care
about Thunderbolt 3.
Well, that's why it's a joke that I have that Akitio giant.
It's bigger than the computer.
It is much heavier than the computer. Otherworld Computing, let me see what they sell that dock for. The Thunderbolt 2 dock is $219. That's ridiculous. And it's not Thunderbolt 3. So I bought it back when they announced it a year ago.
It took them a little while.
Yeah. FireWire 800 port. What? I don't see a FireWire port. Oh, I don't have this one.
Wow.
That's the new one.
Screw you.
You got you.
That's why every time I look at these boxes, I always see one spec that I really, really want that I can't imagine isn't imminent as soon as a new chip enters into the factory space. And it's like, I don't want to spend $250 on this box. And now a year later,
it's obsolete.
I can't get. Yeah, exactly. It's.
Which one did I get then?
It's not there anymore.
I ordered a long time ago.
Was there a label in there that said Saka?
We finally made it, but we're not going to sell it anymore. Is this it? No. It comes with a cable. That's the other thing. Nowadays, you got to. Oh, this one's $249. It's even more expensive. Okay, enough. Once again, Leo bought something that's now obsolete.
That's what you do for your listenership, Leo.
I do it for you. I do it for you, my friends. You want to watch the video of the new campus? Every month, we get another great video of the...
So Apple puts up the anti-drones.
I think they actually, they're liking this. Wait a minute, this one's somebody else. This is Matthew Roberts.
Competing drone footage.
There's competing drone. Now they will bring out the drone guns. This is the May version of the Apple campus. Look at that crane. It's a giant X. What is it?
It's a site for the next X Games. They're having a big motocross track.
Underground auditorium progressing rapidly. Yeah, it's all sealed up. They got the roof on it, not only in the round part, but on the underground part.
They're going to want that finished as soon as possible.
That's true.
I bet that's the first part to be open. I bet they're going to use it for the September event.
Oh, this September?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't bet against it. It's looking at the layout of the campus, it's designed so that they could basically keep people away from the rest of the campus. And it's a lovely distraction.
Look at all these tunnels. This is partly the underground parking garage, but I think there's also probably an underground railroad for Tim Cook.
it's a Mario Kart. It's a Mario Kart track.
It looks pretty cool. Seems like
I hope that Tim Cook called George Lucas and said, "I know you're making fun films for yourself. Please make another. We know that you filmed THX-1138 in the incompleted BART tunnels. We're going to give you our tunnels for 3 weeks to film whatever you want."
That's a great idea. Either that, or they're building a competitor to the Large Hadron Collider.
Well, I think of a lot of it as not feeling like you have any cars around. When I was at, when we worked at the ranch, the parking was underground. Yeah. There was only a handful of cars, and they were all hidden behind trees.
Feels very rural.
So you went either under the THX building or under the tech building.
Looks like there's another tunnel in the center of the circle.
There is.
Yeah, so it might connect with that.
The circle is the entryway, and then you go down to the auditorium. But I have a feeling you're exactly right, that there's also a tunnel to the executive suite.
No, I'm sure there is.
So that Tim Cook doesn't have to go through, public scrutiny.
I bet they're horizontal bat poles, so that he actually changes into the open collared shirt and the slacks.
I bet you could build the first working Hyperloop, and he could just shoot him with pneumatic tubes.
And I bet you can drive a car from the outside to the theater, into the theater, onto the stage.
Oh, yeah, guarantee you. Yeah.
Disney's executive
guarantee
parking
it.
Lot.
I don't know why they would need to do that, but I bet you
some
that was
reason,
part of the spec.
There's a big door that opens up and a car can drive in.
Right in. You would do that in
look
a big
at the
theater.
Glass. Oh, they're really getting there. And of course, this is the pyramid that they'll bury Tim Cook in after he passes. Seven large cranes. Mountain of dirt. Still as tall as the main building, but I'm sure it'll go down. Or will it? It looks like the pyramid at Saqqara. Parking structures nearing completion. Look at those. Wow, look at. Wait a minute. Look at all of those solar panels.
I wonder if they're going to be able to power the whole building from it.
I could tell you, that's a lot of capacity they got there. If they were going to do it on the other side, too, I'm sure. Bridges and ramps connecting the garages. Solar panels over the whole garage. Look at that. And I'm sure there'll be more on the other side, right?
Yeah. The best that $12 billion can buy.
When you got money, you don't have to buy electricity.
Mm.
Frame to be lifted into place on roof. One big ass air conditioning unit.
Yeah, I wonder if they're actually gonna when this whole thing is fully armed and operational. Are they going to actually do like an extended video tour?
Oh, they must. Yeah.
The making of. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if the whole roof is solar panels.
Yeah, it looks like it, huh?
And way better than that Trump airplane tour video.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Mr. Trump has gold in all of his faucets.
Oh Lord. More progress made on exterior of spaceship. I love the curved glass. You just there's no frame. Yeah. It just goes.
This was the last Apple headquarters not built in orbit.
Right. There you go. Matthew Roberts now taking over the drone. Nice job, Matthew. Good looking 4K footage. That's on YouTube.
I think Renee's right. I think the next Apple campus is going to be built 100 kilometers above the Earth's surface for tax reasons.
Right. This is,
you want your taxes? Come get them.
That was shot, by the way, on a DJI Phantom 3 Professional.
Nice.
Yeah.
These guys have to be in the position where they're saying, we can't possibly stop drones without shotguns. So we may as well pretend that we're okay with people taking these videos.
You can stop. There's a lot of ways to stop drones.
Yeah.
EMP. Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, there's tools to take them right out of the air. Just saying. literally push a button and they're gone. I mean, they have some that'll drop them nicely where they'll just land. But there's other ones that'll just literally the drone will just stop.
It's good like PR for Apple stop, to see this.
It'd be bad PR for Apple to be killing people with drones.
Yeah.
And it looks good. And we're all excited and we're watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
Facebook Messenger testing Snapchat style disappearing messages on iOS. Have you seen that yet?
I will try to. It was gone.
Someone screenshotted it, so we're okay.
Yeah. Screenshots revealed a potential version of Facebook Messenger on iOS where users can set a time limit for their messages to remain visible. I think that's a good idea. I've been using Messenger as my day-to-day SMS application.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I think but depending on who we're talking to, I feel like I'm torn between all these different...
SMS, that's right. We need
Telegram, Slack. I think those are my five. They're on my front page, and I just decide which one we're going to, depending on who I'm talking to.
Yeah. iPhone 7 leaked photos point to bigger battery. Do we even want to talk about the iPhone 7? Why are we?
They're going to make one. They're not going to switch and go into the hot tub business. They're still making phones.
And you know what? When they make a phone, Mom will use one. This is the new Mother's Day shot on iPhone ad with pictures of moms and daughters and children. It's kind of beautiful, kind of sweet. That it really is the power of a camera on your phone, camera in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's there when you want it to be, when a baby's born.
I'd say my biggest
first
push,
steps.
My wife has an older phone. My biggest push, the reason for her to get a new phone, is just to get a better camera because you're taking all these pictures of the kids.
Moms shot on iPhone. Nah, maybe not the best headline. Honestly, maybe could you, I don't know, different word?
Yeah.
Get the thesaurus. There's got to be something better than that. The major tech breakthrough that iPhone users have been waiting for is finally here. According to the Boy Genius Report, no more fingerprint reader. They can just do it right on the glass.
I thought that was an LG or a Samsung thing.
Never mind. It is. It's an LG, but it's an Apple outsources all of that stuff, right? They would buy. They could buy it from LG. It's the first underglass fingerprint sensor module. They cut a shallow furrow of 0.01 inches. That's a third of a millimeter thick on the lower back side of the cover glass, and put a fingerprint sensor inside it. With their supreme precision and combination technology, said the press release. In this module, the sensor is not exposed to the outside of the device. From your point of view, the glass is smooth. The fingerprint recognition area can be indicated by patterns up to design of complete product. So, in other words, you can figure out where the reader is by looking at it, but not by touching it, not by feeling it. LG Innotek.
Yeah, see, it seems like more of a useful thing for like a point of sale display or for like an ATM display.
Yeah.
Rather than a consumer phone. I can't imagine that any maker is so aggressive about removing bezel space that they would hand over technology like that to something that's quite so arbitrary. It's hard to imagine it working well for Apple or for any other handset maker.
And I have to say that the reliability of the reader is way more important than the fact that
the security of the reader.
Yeah.
I mentioned CNET earlier. I worked for CNET for 2 weeks. Was their third employee after Halsey Miner and Shelby Bonney. Shelby Bonney has moved on to other things. He's now a venture capitalist and a banker at Allen and Company. And he lost his iPad at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. He just got off a red eye, a little groggy, and he thought he'd never see it again. But, hey, when you lose an iDevice, what do? You turn on Find My iPhone. And lo and behold, he started tweeting this, by the way. Put it on Facebook so you could follow the whole story. Lo and behold, he could see that his iPad was kind of having some fun. It left the Fort Lauderdale Airport and went to Graceland. Stayed at the Heartbreak Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, and then moved on to the links at Riverside, a golf course. Moved on again after a short layover. Shelby was going back through Fort Lauderdale Airport. He saw that his iPad, he was on Concourse C, saw that his iPad was on an airplane approaching Concourse C. He ran to the gate. Looked over the passengers trying to say, you have my iPad? I mean, how are you going to tell, right? You got my iPad. In fact, he remembered you can make a sound.
Right.
You press a button and it will go. He activated it, but he heard nothing. So he figured it must have been in the checked baggage. Right. Dang it. He comments, this is better than Game of Thrones. He's actually enjoying this at some point. Eventually, the iPad came to rest in a suburb of Miami, Miami Lakes. He says it looked like a nice home with a swimming pool. He spent $50 to have 5 Mylar balloons delivered to the house with a thank you card. I'm sorry, a thinking of you card. He says, or one of his friends says, friendly yet slightly creepy enough for them to want that iPad out of their house. He left a voice, or actually a reporter called, saw this. Reporter called the house, left a voicemail message.
Right.
So the next morning, Shelby looks at Find My iPhone iPad and sees that the iPad's on his way back to the Fort Lauderdale Airport. He thinks, maybe I scared the person, right, and they're bringing it back to Lost and Found. So he went to the website, filled out a claim for the Lost and Found. His phone rang. Somebody from the airport's Lost and Found was calling. As described by Lost and Found when they called a second ago, Bonnie writes, a fairly elderly woman came in a few minutes ago and said she had gotten the balloons and thought it would be a good idea to return the iPad to the airport. She said, thank him for the balloons, but please, no calls. He paid to have his iPad shipped home by UPS. He received it in San Francisco on Friday with a banner saying, welcome home, on his front door.
Was she wearing a captain's uniform? That's my question.
Such a great story.
So Andy left her iPad at she was driving back from D.C. and she left hers at a rest stop and didn't realize it till the next morning. And then quickly used Find My iPhone and went right back to the restaurant she was at, and luckily it was still there.
Cautionary tale. Do not use it to try to go confront the thief.
No, yeah, absolutely never.
You could get killed.
Yes.
Not only that, but a lot of the systems they use to triangulate the location, if it can't find a specific location, they'll give you a mathematical point that apparently there are a lot of houses where they just happen to be at a triangulation point between popular cell phone towers, so that they will base so that the Find My iPhone feature will just basically point to not a vague area but the specific address. So much so that a couple of these houses, they actually have signs up saying, "I don't have your phone." And terrible stories about how, you know, people bang on the door to it. "Hey, man, I want my phone. I'm not even kidding. I want my phone."
Isn't there one that's dead center USA and that just a lot of places default to that house when it can't find anything else?
Do you love The Rock?
Who doesn't love The Rock?
Leo, I can smell what you're thinking.
I have to say, I wasn't a big Rock fan. And then I started following him, and he's funny. I mean, former pro wrestler, Beefcake, 44 years old, just celebrated his birthday. Looks like a million bucks. It's another reason not to like The Rock.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Okay, he's not too self-centered.
And he can sing okay.
He apparently does not like alarm clocks. In fact, he doesn't. Oh, no.
That's just a waste of a good alarm clock, if you ask me.
And he really doesn't like snooze alarms. So he's created something called Project Rock. His first app or first thing was apparently some sort of bags. But the second thing is the Rock Clock.
Which I couldn't find before when they did the announcement.
Well, download it on the App Store now. Its chief feature, it has no snooze alarm.
That is the number one feature in an alarm for me. The best part of the current one is I can turn the snooze off on my watch.
No snooze alarm. And it doesn't just for waking up anymore. It's a motivational alarm clock. So you could set a personal goal, set your morning alarm, wake up every day with a new message from Dwayne Johnson. It's are there in-app purchases?
Beep, beep. Beep,
wake
beep,
up,
beep,
wake up.
I can do this all morning.
Beep, beep, beep.
This wake up is brought to you by Cheerios.
Get your candy butt directly out of this bed.
Oh, I love it. You guys are probably fans of him from the Fast and Furious movie, right?
He's supposed to be in the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
The Reno 911 movie.
Reno 911. He was in The Mummy, right?
That's kind of where he started. Was The Mummy? Was the
Scorpion
King?
First movie after he
some horrible CG.
The Scorpion King.
That was the worst.
Looks like it's Scorpion King. Looks like it's free, and there's no in-app purchases. So it's just, and the reviews are in, and 4 stars. It's decent as an alarm clock. Ringtones are A+, and worth downloading for that and the videos. All right.
Sure, give 1 star to the Rocks review. That's fine. That's smart.
Thanks for blowing my pick of the week again, Leo. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, I'm going to download it while we're doing it.
I downloaded it.
Did you want to play some tones from the Rock Clock? It's if you want it, it's from 7 Bucks Entertainment. It's a great name, also.
$7 for an alarm clock.
$7. No, it's free, my friends. It's free.
Old Eddie Murphy joke.
Oh, I get it. Sorry. So I'm not hip. I'm not with it. I'm not with the kids. Our show today brought to you. Get your picks ready, folks. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace. You got a rock sound? Make some rock sounds while I do the ad. Oh.
Beep, beep.
Oh. Beep, beep. You weren't kidding.
Sunshine.
Hold on.
I like that.
Entrance music.
Oh, I'm getting this for sure. This is a manly clock.
This is Wayne Johnson, and I approve this message.
Oh, okay, you know what? Can't be long before he runs for office, huh?
Get up.
And there's a new one every day.
Oh, this is the best alarm clock ever.
It's all you. You got this.
You got this.
It's all you. You got this.
You know what? I'm inspired. I don't use an alarm clock, but I'm going to sit. Oh.
Let's
wow.
Roll.
Can this phone app give me a spot?
Okay, it's pretty. That's pretty funny.
That's good. And there's a new one every day. Sounds like Jason. Sounds like you've actually downloaded this and bought it and using it. Is it your?
No,
alarm?
I was just doing thorough research on the story before I put it in the dock.
It is hard to find. Apple, you got to fix your search, man. This sucks.
Yeah, totally.
I'm searching for the rock clock. I can't find it.
It's not like these aren't solved problems, like nearest neighbor and fuzzy fuzzy logic and auto widening. These are all solved problems.
I have a suspicion that that's the one developer that Apple's actually going to listen to and want to make happy. You want someone that big at WWDC.
I can't find my clock.
Standing in the middle of the aisle during the keynote, arching his eyebrow while popcorn pyrotechnics go behind him and all those laser lights are going.
This is pretty good. I think apps with attitudes. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's do this. Wake up every day with a new message from The Rock. Set your goal. Set your clock. Like it. Our show today, as I started to say, brought to you by Squarespace, the place to make your new professional-looking website. From a simple cover page to the perfect portfolio to your blog to your online store, it's all in there, and I love it. Now, Lisa's done a great thing with her new site for our new business, Artisanal Agency. Squarespace has a lot of developers who are working for you, and she's hired somebody. He's doing such a great job, but you can also do it yourself. They've got some new templates, by the way, 5 new templates with grid-style landing pages, infinite scroll, you know, that's the hot thing now. Related posts appear at the bottom. Author profiles, so you can have multiple authors and have each of them have their own profile, and searches right in the header there. Your site will look like it's designed by a pro, but of course, if you want to get geeky, there's lots of settings, fonts, colors, page configurations. Mobile, every site is mobile responsive, so you don't have a separate mobile site. Your site looks good on any size screen. And when you want to do an online store, there's no better way. It's the only place where your site and your store are so tightly integrated, people don't feel like, oh, I'm leaving the site to buy something. You get a free custom domain when you buy an annual plan. Great support 24/7. Many Squarespace users have used it over and over again. I have several sites. Members who have built or contributed to 3 or more active Squarespace websites now have access to something new. This is called the Squarespace Circle. Circle membership includes advanced guides, optimized support, 6-month trial periods for new projects, and more. So if you're somebody who's setting up sites for people, or you just use Squarespace a lot like I do, I know you do too, Alex, you can now be in the Circle.
I want to be in the Circle.
Be in the Circle. And if you have an idea but aren't ready for the website, you can browse over 200 top-level domains and buy them directly from a new business for Squarespace. They're become a domain registrar, Squarespace Domains. You don't have to have a Squarespace site to get your domain from Squarespace. Register for a clean, spam-free parking page until you're ready to start building. And then, of course, when you build a Squarespace site, it'll integrate very easily.
This is the only way to go.
I like this.
That's all I got to say.
I got to start using it. Squarespace.com. Free trial awaits you, but do use the offer code MacBreak when you buy for 10% off, and you'll show your support for the show. Squarespace.com. I'm really glad I moved my site over to Squarespace. I post a lot more now. Let's time for our picks of the week. Let's start. Let's see. Mr. Rene Ritchie. Kick us
off. All right, so I have 2, but they sort of go together. In this fast-paced, ever-changing media world, we're all being told to Snapchat more often, and now Facebook Live is the new thing because Facebook says it is, and they control a vast amount of web traffic. So I'm having to do a lot more Facebook Live videos and Snapchat videos, and we don't want like the shaky cam where it looks like you're in the Bourne movie and no one can see you because they stop watching. So I went and got at the Apple Store, they had a whole exhibit on different accessories, and these are from Manfrotto, and I like Manfrotto, so they were easy sells for me. And this just looks like it's very easy to carry with you. You can take it anywhere, and then you just turn and turn, and it turns into a little clamp that you can use to secure your iPhone.
I have a bunch of these, but that one looks really slick.
You put it in there, and you take it, and then I have a big one too, but I have this little desktop tripod that Manfrotto makes, which is pretty awesome. So if you just want to put it on your desk and do your Snapchat Live or your Facebook Live, so you can tell people just exactly how you are doing that thing that you do, you just put this on, And then it's very easy to mount. Now, Facebook hates sideways video right now, so you can actually turn it sideways to mount it. But portrait to mount it. But I found this to be very effective. You just put it down somewhere, turn on the video, drop your phone on the floor.
Oh, my God. That was not a good ad for that plan.
Okay. I was rushing to put it together. But yeah, put it on. I've been using it for about 3 weeks, and we've got a bunch of Facebook video, live videos on the iMore channel now, and they all... it's been working really great for me. There's a couple bigger adapters that I use on bigger tripods when I'm outside, but this was so easy just to put in a bag and take with me, and then just stick it on a table and do app demonstrations or a quick hands-on.
I like that mini tripod.
Different device.
That's cute.
Yeah,
that's great. Manfrotto makes a lot. They're a big tripod company. We use a lot of Manfrotto stuff.
Part of me hates Unitasker, so in a perfect world, this would be something that I could use on its own and on another device. But for what it is, and just to carry with me, not even in my suitcase or my laptop bag, this is really hard to beat.
Yeah,
and it looks like one of those Mars Invades monsters.
Because I could also use the tripod for the Theta. I need a good Theta tripod.
It depends if you're going to stream or not. So it actually is the Theta mounting
the
Theta.
You can't put the tripod because the streaming.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
It's in the hole.
I don't have an answer for that yet, but I'm working on it.
Blocks the hole.
It does.
It's a pain in the butt.
It's working on that.
What do you got, Alex Lindsay?
So I have one that I recommended a long time ago, but I want to re-recommend it because I was just using it recently, which is 1-2-3D Catch.
Oh, that was fun.
And it was just like I was using it over the last weekend. I was I was in Gettysburg doing some stuff, and I was taking some pictures of things, and it's just such a cool little application, and it's come a long way. I hadn't used it for a while. And basically what you can do is you can take a bunch of photos of an object from different angles, and actually it'll build a 3D model for you. And, I would definitely search the App Store for Autodesk, especially for iPhones, because
they are doing some
revolutionary things with their iOS development is a pretty slick thing. So basically, you don't have to know anything about 3D. You can just sit there and take these pictures, and it's going to build a 3D model for you. I haven't tried it, but it does. It should integrate with, you can see someone, taking a bunch of pictures and... I can't believe that'll actually work. But
he's got a 3D model his kid. And then he doesn't have to. He could just, rent him out.
And he can print him.
He can print one.
Yeah. But you can see how these models, you can. And when you think about developing content for, education or, a lot of other things. Now, I will say that it works. The older version used to work with locations better than the newer version does. There was an old geeky version that was on the PC that worked a little bit better. And I think that they still have that. But. It's come, a lot of the tools now for general purpose. Here you can see it in, there's the 3D. So you can actually print that is a cardboard version of yep. So all of these things are.
Look, child, I've printed you.
So, but this is the ecosystem that Autodesk's building. There's a printed version from the photos. Yeah. And I just think that absolutely zero relationship with, not bad relationship, but zero relationship with Autodesk. Other than I just really think that what they're doing here has been, watching from the outside has been really pretty exciting. Revolutionary, what they're doing on the iOS. And so I just wanted to give them props because I was just thinking about it while I was using it over the weekend. So that's my pick.
It's an incredible app to have on your phone, especially if you're traveling. Like you will, once you realize you have this on your phone and you'll be in a museum or something and you'll see something cool.
Right.
And you'll think, well, what the hell? I may as well see if I can get a 3D capture of it. And you'll be shocked at how good that capture is. And then maybe you will never do anything with this model, or maybe this will help you show off that cool thing that you saw to someone else. Or maybe you can actually just send the file off to be 3D printed somewhere. I was using even an earlier version of this I'm now sort of obsessed with like art heists and stealing sculptures where
okay.
I can. I'm serious. Like, I'll be in a place where, let's see, it's not butted against the wall. I can get above it and below it and all around it. I think I'm going to steal a 3D model of this Frederick.
Not Coase 11.
Exactly. And you just feel like it, and it's such a wonderful thing when you get this thing home and you have this thing you can now play with, and it's a free app. The entire library of Autodesk apps, even if you're not really thrilled about this 3D capture thing, they have this wonderful suite of this 3D creation tools, right, that is the simplest darn tools for creating objects that they reduce it to just maybe really just a theoretically like a screwdriver, a pair of pliers, a saw, and a clamp. And everything, that's not the four tools, but instead of giving you 100 different tools, it's like, here is something for pounding something into something else. Here's something for cutting something away from something else. Here's something for sticking two things together. And here's a lathe. Basically,
and
everything.
All integrate, though, which is
that's well, so and that's cool. The thing is,
you learn how to use these four tools, and you can build anything. Yeah. This guy who's making a complete operational and functional BB-8 droid. He's on xrobots.co.uk. Amazing engineer, and every single piece he's doing as a 3D print, and every single piece he's designing in this free Autodesk app. It's amazing.
For some reason, now you have me inspired that I'm going to start just building a little printed museum of things that I stole from the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that would be, steal them.
You walk into my office, I'm telling you, Andy, I'm going to start working on this, where you just find something interesting, I'll just take photos
stealing
and print it.
Any more than taking a picture is stealing.
Absconding.
Sometimes it feels like a heist because...
they don't want you to do that.
Well, not that they don't want to. It's just that you have to, like, how can I do this in such a way that it's very, very clear I'm not doing something that's disruptive to any of the other museum visitors or something that's going to be destructive to the art piece? I stole this wonderful piece of art from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Gallery 700, fortunately, like a month before they banned selfie sticks, because it's a really, really tall figure and I needed the selfie stick to get like the taller angles of it. And so basically, I'm basically there like an altar boy holding like a candle on the stick, like walking around like every 10 degrees taking pictures from all these different angles.
You do a squat like the guy in the video, just like squatting every picture.
Exactly. No, exactly. And the only thing I didn't do was I thought if I just get a poker chip, a white poker chip, and use the gaffer tape to make like a checkerboard pattern on it, I wonder if I can just put it on not the base of the statue itself, but the base of the modern plinth it's on top of. Will they freak out? Because if you have that registration point, all these 3D catch things go together all that much better. And yeah, so it often does feel like I'm conducting a heist because I'm trying to get away with something that security may or may not approve of my doing, even if it's not destructive.
And Andy Anatko, your pick of the week.
My pick is this. It's from 12 South, the guys who, the designers who do this wonderfully designed iOS and Mac accessories. And it's called the Time Porter, and it's I want to say that it's a travel case for your Apple Watch, but it's actually multiple solutions at once. Why do I have the watch on the outside? Well, because it actually lets you take your charger and actually coil it up inside the box like this. And you can actually keep the outside of the charger like that, so that when you are at your hotel or at your destination, you can use this as like a bedside stand for it. And it also has enough room on the inside to coil up your cord very nicely. It also has room for your charger, for your AC charger. It has room for extra bands, maybe not for all of Renee's extra bands, but for however many, the minimum number of extra bands that Renee likes to travel with. And also things like it also has enough room here that you could like have a battery, like a USB battery charger. And then there have been times where, like, I've had a day that starts with check out of my hotel in San Jose at 4 a.m. and then be on the go until I get my red-eye flight at 11 p.m. and I wake up after the red-eye with a dead battery. And so this way I could actually just stuff this in my bag and have this plugged into a battery charger, and it will be ready to go when I take it out of my bag. I've always had a problem with how do I transport this if I'm not necessarily going to be wearing it. And for the wedding that I went to in D.C., this was my solution to it, which was to just like wrap the cord around itself, wrap it around the watch, and then tie it all together so that it doesn't all come apart. And I didn't have this for that trip, so this has not been road tested by me yet. But it's really nicely put together. If you don't have you don't want to have this sticking out. It also has a little plug here, so you can make it completely self-contained. It has a nice cord keeper inside, It's not that expensive. It's $50, which is
they could charge a lot more than that. That's actually a very good price.
It's nicely made. It doesn't. It's sort of like a leatherette sort of things wrapped around what feels like a metal case, or if it's not a metal case, then it's a very, very hard composite case. And it feels like something that you can toss into your bag. It'll protect your watch. It'll protect your gear, and it'll stand up to abuse. But it's typical for what I expect from 12 South products. It's easy to say, well, we'll build a box that's built big enough to hold an Apple Watch and a bunch of bands, and they would go to the next step and say, well, if we're going to have a box that's good, if we're going to imply that this is the great thing to travel with your Apple Watch with, what things would come in handy for someone who's traveling with an Apple Watch? And this really is a great solution in all ways. There's no chance that I will not be traveling with this the next time I have to go somewhere with my Apple Watch.
12south.com. That's really sweet. Thank you, Andy.
Oh, great.
My pick started with an Anil Dash tweet after Prince passed away. His favorite floppy disk of all time. This is a floppy disk that was sent in 1993 by Warner Music to all the music publishing, Rolling Stone, the music press, because Prince in 1993 decided that he didn't want to be called Prince. He didn't even want to be called the artist formerly known as Prince, although that was something that many journals resorted to. He wanted to be known as this glyph, the love symbol.
Which was a great logo, by the way.
Awesome logo. He had guitars and everything. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, how do you write about Prince? No one has this glyph in their typeface. So Warner Music sent a floppy disk to everybody with a font with one symbol in it, the Prince font. And by the way, Anil Dash has this floppy, which is an awesome thing. Should have been purple. It's yellow. I don't know why but...
Sure, it's the color of the disc they bought.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't think it that far out. Yeah. You couldn't buy purple.
So here's the beauty. That font is still out there. The Daily Dot found it. And you can download it from the Daily Dot. They put it on Dropbox. I have it right here. This is Prince Plain. And if you install it, you can have the font, the glyph, in your collection anytime you need to show. And by the way, scales beautifully.
Okay. And if you've got like a laser cutter or a 3D printer, now you can just make one the size for the roof of your car.
Yeah.
or better yet, the roof of another employee's car that you don't either you like or don't particularly like, and who has left the car for the day.
Now I'm on a mission because, of course, if you use this font in Twitter or in a message, and the other person doesn't have it, they won't be able to see it. So I'm on a mission to get everybody to install the Prince font now. So that I can send you messages.
It should be a sticker. You should just have a sticker on chat apps.
Otherwise, you get a square thing. It should be an emoji.
A bitmoji.
Anyway, if you Google Daily Dot and Prince font, you can find the article. And that I don't know how long that Dropbox link will. You know what I should probably do is put this somewhere we can store it.
For the good of humanity.
For the good of humanity. I could put it on CashFly because they're really good about giving us bandwidth. And I can just... Then millions could download it. It's still a good download.
They put it on Dropbox.
Yeah, and Dropbox normally has limits, but maybe they paid for like unlimited download. Yeah, you got it. So I guess you could still download it. Daily Dot the traffic. They found it. It is. And if we could only make it a title of this show, I would, but you have to all download the font first.
It's like a secret club. We'll make that a prerequisite.
I could put it on the Twit Wiki. Maybe some of these.
And you push like any that. Letter? Hold on. How do you?
No, you have to. No, it's not any letter. I don't know. Actually, I didn't find that part out. How do you? That's a good question. What you do is, as you do on any Mac, you go to the emoji and symbols.
Menu. Only the funky keys result.
Funky keys.
If we look at emojis funky and symbols, keys. We could probably figure out which one it is. The Prince font. I don't know. I don't know how you invoke it. I don't know where it lives. How do you invoke it? You party like it's 1999.
Party, man.
The other thing I have came to me from Father Robert, who this was an answer to a question somebody asked on the radio show. He's a truck driver, and he didn't want to miss calls. He wanted something that would really vibrate the hell out of him. And but he didn't want to wear a watch. So if you don't want to wear an Apple Watch, but you do want to be notified, here's a $30 doohickey that buzzes like crazy when you get a notification. It's called the Ditto. You put the Ditto app on your phone, and you can say who you want to hear from. You could even have discrete buzzes for different people, 5.3.1 or whatever. Texts, emails, calls. It will also notify you if you leave your phone behind because it pairs via Bluetooth. So it's kind of like one of those, reminder tracker things. Silent alarm. Comes with a little wristband. You could wear it on your wrist, although I don't do it. I keep it just clipped in my pocket. It's a really small little thing. And when somebody calls you, no one can hear it, but it buzzes like crazy. Put it in your underwear, so that way no one will hear it. No cables.
A lot of uses for that.
And here's the best part: it's not a rechargeable. It has one of those little coin batteries in it, and it goes for a long time. They say. From simplematters.com, it's the Ditto, and it's on Amazon and everywhere, and they've got the Ditto app on iOS and Android. It's a silly little thing, but they're for some people who don't want a more elaborate, expensive way to get notifications. Yeah. Like if you could set it so if my mom calls, that's the only one that'll vibrate it. Like it's the emergency button, something like that.
Also, I love these remote things because it allows you to put them in places where you may have been missing tones elsewhere.
Right.
Like if you have a watch, it's easy to get things on your wrist. If you don't have a watch, I had something that's sort of similar to that. And for something that was super, super critical, I was going to be going for a walk like all day long. So I actually had one like on the back of my head, where it was just absolutely impossible not to feel this at the back of your head. whereas a buzzing in your pocket, you've almost programmed yourself to kind of ignore it because it's probably just Hulu app informing you that there's another episode of the Bob Newhart show.
Do you have phantom buzzes?
I have phantom buzzes all the time.
I have phantom buzzes in my pocket all the time where I feel a buzz. I'm like, wait, there's no phone there.
Now, I'm going to buzz myself because you can do that on the app, and I don't think you're going to hear it. By the way, it's waterproof, so you can swim with it. So you could put it in your bathing suit or whatever. You can't hear it, but it's buzzing me right now.
Could someone do like a modern version of that old electronic football game where it's just like bzzz, like the players just vibrating on this metal sheet?
Yeah,
you just put one of these at the bottom of like every little action figure.
Was that U-matic? U-O-matic? What was it called? It was. That was a long time ago. Yeah, just vibrated the players down the field.
Oh, right. I remember that. You get it.
Yeah. Something O-matic. I can't remember the name of it.
Scam-O-matic? I can't believe that it would work.
You can feel it, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good buzz. And then you could have different custom vibrations and stuff. It's just, it's not something everybody wants, but it's a little thing.
Yeah, it'd be good for shows when you're dealing with someone and give it to them. Like,
cut.
Yeah, this
if you feel a buzz, stop talking.
Yeah. Time to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. There is according to Wikipedia, there is something called phantom vibration syndrome or PVS. There it is. That's it.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it is.
I had one of those.
Saints player.
What's it called?
I don't think I had one. I think one of my friends had one.
It's so dopey.
It's fun.
It's so dopey.
Back in the days before microprocessors and LCDs, kids.
That's what we thought was fun.
That's the best that we could do.
Yeah. Does it say on that video what the name of that thing is? It's got to have a name.
Disappointment. I think it's called Disappointment, Leo.
Come on, chat room. You know the name of it. Something football matic. I'm going to say O-matic. Oh, man. Stratomatic. That's it. Stratomatic football. Is that
in New England? We had the Tudor rod hockey table when I was a kid.
Yeah. So actually, it wasn't Stratomatic. I played that in college a lot, though. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have completed this rendezvous with destiny known as Mac Break Weekly. I thank you all for being here. I hope you've had a great time. We remind you to be back here each and every week, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Tuesdays, so you too can be part of the fun. And also you can download on-demand audio and video of all the shows after the fact on twit.tv, in this case, twit.tv/MBW, or your favorite podcatcher, or one of the Twit apps on every platform. Renee Ritchie, thank you for being here. iMore.com. And, of course, many a podcast there at iMore.com. Anything you want to plug, something big and debug?
We just got a new person on the staff at iMore, Micah Sargent, formerly of Newsy. He does a bunch of podcasts on Relay FM. He's super awesome, and he's going to help us, you know, be a little bit younger and hipper and use all those new services that we don't know so much about.
I'm going the other way. I'm looking for more old people.
That's right, Leo.
Join me.
Great.
Good. That'll be fun. iMore, iMore.com. It is the place, man. You guys just kicking it out of the park here.
So much.
Alex Lindsay is with Pixel Core. You have to check him out. Follow him on Twitter. That way he'll keep you posted on all the things he does, including
silly things like this morning, which evidently got a lot of retweets.
Well, what'd you say?
I said that my success so far has been because I was a farm boy, because everything in the geek world is better than shoveling manure.
Yes. So you're grateful.
It was in some conversation that came up and someone thought it was funny. So I'd...
Not necessarily different from, but still better than.
By the way.
Capital S. Thank you to Stephen Kimbrough.
Capital S. Yep. If you shift S, if you have the Prince plain font.
I just want to say that we talk about the watch. So when we're sitting there talking, Stephen Kimbrough slacked me. He's in the company. He slacked me. Capital S. It's capital S. You know, I looked down at my watch. I was like, there you go.
There you go. Capital S. That's why the watch is a great thing.
Anyway, yeah.
And thank you, Andy Yanako, Chicago Sun-Times. My inspiration as a photographer, as a writer, as a sideburn grower.
Oh. That's so lovely, and let's give credit where credit is due for you. That's such a great business model. You're going after an audience with retirement income, not after an audience with student loan debt.
Exactly,
this will work out much better for you.
Yes,
exactly. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Now get back to work, because you know what? Break time is over.